AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax this Sunday with a little moment to yourself and the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this Robach Beat Me in the New York City Half Marathon episode of Amy and DJ. Yes, we did it. We made it. We crossed the finish line. Congrats.
That's right.
Buddy.
And I crossed the finish line 1 second faster than you.
That is a true story. 1 hour, 57 minutes and 2 seconds. That's the time of Miss Amy Robach. And my time was 1 second more. Every race we have done, we didn't realize this until a moment ago, every single race we have run in together, we have only been separated by 1 second, or our times were exactly the same. Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that beautiful? That's because you willed it to be so. It's not just by happenstance or we're just training together so we run at the same speed. Yeah. You stay by my side or usually just a smidge behind me.
Yes. We do all that training together. And then on the day of the race is the reward from all the work you put in. So that's supposed to be the fun time. I could not dream of running a race not side by side with you.
That's really sweet.
If we train for it together, then we're going to go through it together.
It is something to experience it with you by my side. We can see the same signs. We look at the same faces. You feel connected to the person next to you. So I love running races by your side. I think I'm going to have to opt out of a couple of them just so I can watch you do your personal best. I also do feel absolute guilt that you don't push yourself. You don't see what your best is because you're next to me, but I do appreciate it.
No. Don't feel guilt. You are the one that got me into running in the first place. And we've all those training runs. We talk about running and people might see us make posts about running. Folks, this is a lot of getting up at 4 and 5 in the morning, 5 days a week for months to go out there and get ready for that race day. So there's no way doing all that with you, all that pain. And then I'm just going to, bye, I'm going to take off. I'll see it later at the finish. No.
Eventually we'll get to the finish line and we can celebrate together. But we did have so much fun. We felt like this year's race was the easiest, calmest, most peaceful. We just felt like we were in a really good Zen space. And then it dawned on us perhaps why that was so. Yes, the weather was good. But we've had other good weather races. This was specific.
But training, we trained just the same as we were always well trained.
Yep.
But for whatever reason, we were out there kicking it. We were having a blast. We were keeping great times. We're like, wow, this is amazing. What is going on? And then you were the one that kind of pieced it together. The last couple of times we've had races together have been a bit of turmoil.
Yes, we've had photographers chasing us for all the wrong reasons. We actually had to run under aliases. So this was the first time we've run a race since we have spoken out and taken back our narrative. And you've heard it on the podcast and we've started to become ourselves again. And so we felt like that for the first time. We're running by each other. Yes, we're in love and our heads were held up high and our names were on the roster. And it felt good.
Do you remember your alias from last year?
I was trying to think of it.
I can't think of mine either.
Yours was really, oh man, we'll have to come up with them later because they were really good. I took a picture of them and it was just so funny. I think you were Thomas Hobart. I don't know why I just remembered that. Wow. Oh my goodness. I can't remember what you were. See, I remembered your name because it was so not you. It was hilarious.
But it was great to your point. And maybe that had a lot to do. And of course, running is a lot, it has to do with being mental. But a lot of what we've been going through recently and being back out there and being social, the race was a big part of it. And fellowship is a big part of, I guess, what is fueling us and making us feel lighter these days.
That's right. And every time I run a race, I am reminded of the importance of all of those connections.
A lot of people know from, I guess, the end of 2022, we lost touch with a lot of people, given what was going on with us at the time and the turmoil. And really close friends that we stayed in touch with, maybe via text or phone call, we still weren't able to see. And last night, it's fair to say, somebody we've been through all kinds of ups and downs with over the past 10 years, and we haven't had a chance to see actually for almost a year and a half, yeah. Which is unbelievable. But we got to sit and see a friend yesterday, and it was, I think I was overwhelmed in an emotional way, more so than I even thought I would be.
And it was a reunion.
It was.
You know, and I think anyone who's gone through something abrupt where you don't expect not to see someone for a very long period of time, that's exactly what happened. And so, and yes, I want to make it clear, we were staying in touch text, but it's not the same. Obviously, it's not the same. So when you get to hug that person and catch up with that person and see that person and how they're doing and share stories about what it's been like, it was exactly what we needed. We haven't had enough of that, and I think they're starting to come now. And it's made a huge difference in our mental health, for sure, because connection is so important. And especially, I think we oftentimes take for granted the connections we have and the access we have to people. Mm. And then sometimes without realizing it stops. And there's a loss. There's almost a mourning of that. And so you don't maybe even realize the impact it's had until, yes, you have a reunion. And then it's a reminder to make the effort to go out, to see people face-to-face. I think that's a big problem these days because Zoom allows you not to do that, or even texting. It feels like you're in contact, but there's nothing that replaces that one-on-one, face-to-face, getting to hug your friend kind of feeling.
Even FaceTime, I think, fools us into thinking we're spending time with people face-to-face, but we're not. But it was, I think this was another, where we came into this and we were so careful in where we were going to meet. Yeah. Because for whatever reason, we felt like, hey, we don't want you to be seen or photographed with us just in case that might come off bad for you in your world. Like that was, we've said this to some people and it's embarrassing to say. And every friend says, are you freaking kidding me? Stop with that. But we've been programmed for what a lot of what we endured. We were programmed to think that people don't like us, don't love us, don't want anything to do with us. And it was really nice to be reconnected with that friend. Like you said, people, for whatever reason, you forget. Like it, you take it for granted when you see them every day. And you lose them sometimes with death or they're moving. But this one's in town with us and we lost connection, that personal one-on-one time. And it was good to have it back.
Yeah, a reminder to anyone out there, you know, yes, calling a friend's great, checking in on a friend, but meet up, have some coffee, have a drink, do something. Just there's got to be that person who you know it's been on your mind that you've lost that personal touch with. Let this be a reminder to make that date and to make that appointment to meet up, because it does. Oh my gosh, we're still riding high, I think, from having had that meeting.
Now, was that before or after my dad called?
It was right after, but actually, your dad's called a couple of times, so it's been sandwiched. I think we just got off the phone with him.
Well, yesterday it freaked us out because, and again, another thing, parents, anybody out here, you can relate to this. Your parents, if you still have them, they're still with you, good, great. But how many times do you get a message from your parents when you get a certain age, everybody starts breaking down a little bit, having some health issues, but you start getting more messages from your parents and they're all, hey, so I went to the doctor today. He put me on this prescription. And then I came home and my left side is bothering me a little bit. And then I had some chicken last night. And this morning, my heart just ain't right. Like every message you get from parents now. it has to do with their health.
It's an update on their health. Yes. And my mom's going through something right now too. You know, I got a phone call in December and she fell and she is still dealing with, she had to have surgery and now there's PT, but you realize if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And as we watch our parents age, obviously that becomes the central focus because there is a deterioration of the body. And so that is what's on their minds. And that is typically what you end up talking about.
Well, we feel bad in that so often you and I have talked about it, and we've done it playfully.
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness, all I did was said hi. And then she talked for the next 30 minutes about her health. Like, it's almost, you feel bad for complaining about it. And jokingly in some way, but it's, man.
It's serious.
Yesterday was serious. I mean, you've been around plenty when my dad's around, the conversations we have and how he gets going and what he's talking about. But yesterday, it really was a sobering reminder of how everybody's getting older. And he had a cardiologist appointment that was coming up the following day. And you said it, but I couldn't tell. Like, dude, is it serious or is it not serious? And he's saying, well, I might have to go to the emergency room. I'm packing a bag in case they don't let me come back home. Like, what the hell? And then he say, yeah, it's fine. No big deal. But you pointed out to me that, you know what? He was actually trying to comfort me in what he was saying.
Yeah. And you could tell he was nervous and he wanted you to know that something could happen, but then he was trying to make you feel better about it. But deep down, you could tell he was nervous and was concerned. And he made the point. He's like, I'm 76 years old. When your doctor tells you to go to the cardiologist, it's always serious, right?
Yeah. Yep,
good point. Good point. Touche.
But yeah, well, we talk so much about physical health. Mental health is clearly a big part of the discussion these days, and I've talked in some ways just on the surface about what I've dealt with mental health, that in 2015 diagnosed as moderately severe depression, and I didn't do anything about it. I didn't change any of my habits. I didn't go on an antidepressant. I didn't go to therapy. I didn't do anything for about 4+ years and just let that fester, and you were witness to like a 4-year deterioration of mine, and you didn't even realize what was going on, but you have talked about now in very scary ways just what you were witnessing at the time from me.
I was worried about you. Let me just say this, you don't have a poker face. When you're upset or you're sad or you're down or whatever, I mean, it's palpable. It's all over. It's not just in your face, but it's your body. Mm. It's how you carry yourself. Everything changes and shifts. And so, yes, I saw that shift in you. And it's one of those things where you want to help. And I tried. But at the end of the day,
you did.
Thank you. But it's you. You're the one who has to pull yourself up. You're the one who has to figure out how to shift, to change, whether it's with a prescription or if it's through a therapist or it's through friends. I mean, there are obviously a lot of different avenues, but for 4 years, I didn't realize that it went on for that long.
It did, without being addressed. When I finally started addressing, it was almost too late. We've talked about it before. I used to know how many miles it took to walk from downtown to the ABC offices, because I spent nights literally on the streets of New York. I've spent nights sitting and sleeping on a bench in Midtown. I've spent nights just walking up and down just because I didn't want to be home, because I didn't have it together. So we talk about mental health, and you've talked about how running has been such a big part of it for you, because you went through it with antidepressants. We talked about, so you don't mind me saying that, but during the time when you were dealing with your breast cancer diagnosis and treatment, mm-hmm. that they had you go that direction.
Right. I couldn't run, actually, mm-hmm. then. I could barely run, and a mile would be the most I could do, and a lot of days I couldn't do that. So I didn't have the outlet that I had always had. So for a year, my doctors put me on an antidepressant because the anxiety, the stress, the pressure, the overthinking, the fear, all of that just comes crashing down on you. And if you don't have an outlet, if you don't have something that you can do and use and lean on, Yes, I had to get on antidepressants for a full year.
And so they helped.
They did. It numbs you a little. I mean, I think that might be the complaint a lot of people have who are on it, because there are always side effects to any drug you take. So that's the downside of it. But sometimes that is the only outlet when you're in a certain place or space mentally.
But what do they warn you about? Physical.
Well, you can, I mean, there can be, in some cases, there can be weight gain. There's sexual side effects where you just have no libido. You're numb. You might not have the lows, but you also don't get the highs. You don't experience a wide range of emotion that you would have maybe otherwise. So it prevents the low, but you also are numbed down from the high, which isn't something that most people would prefer to do.
So antidepressants, I think it makes sense. People know they just kind of exploded in popularity. That's not the right word. Popularity, I shouldn't say, but in usage during the pandemic. And you talked about running as therapy. And I didn't realize this, but it's fascinating that the study was done, I think, at the end of last year. The results were put out that they gave people that had anxiety disorder, depression, one group, they gave them antidepressants. The other group, no antidepressants, just had them run. Run as exercise. Running was their therapy to treat depression. At the end of this, the two groups had the almost exact same results in terms of how it helped their mental health. The symptoms of their mental health improved the same in both those groups. One group only ran.
And the side effects from the running were all good.
Were a bonus.
Versus the side effects from a lot of the drugs are not good.
So the conclusion is that arguably running is better for your health and treating your depression, your anxiety disorder is a better option for a lot of people than to actually take antidepressants.
And I believe, I don't know if it was a part of this study, but the cool thing is you don't have to be a marathoner or a half marathoner or a 10K. They're saying if you run as little as 1 mile a couple of times a week, the effects of that are significant and documentable.
Huh? AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
So everyone knows we are obviously big runners, but the New York Road Runners, you'll heard us speak about them quite a bit, but they're the organization that's in charge of putting these races together here in New York, including the United Half Marathon and also the New York City Marathon. But a big focus of the CEO now is to make running a part of treating mental health, like an actual therapy for mental health. And that is fascinating to me because the running I do, you got me into it. And yeah, it did help me going through some very difficult times, but I didn't focus on it because of that. But I got all those benefits. Now I'm just a runner and I'm loving it. I miss a day. I don't feel good if I don't run. But Rob Similcare is the name. I got the right. I had to look over at him and still, because we talked and we practiced and still we got to the moment, Rob, and I still was unsure.
I was hoping that you were going to do it because I started to panic. There's a lot of consonants in your last name, Rob, and it's very intimidating, even for those of us who had to say a lot of fancy names over the years. Still, I was like, please let TJ say it. I hope he says it.
He nailed it. True broadcast professional.
But Rob, we were actually, we wanted to get to you earlier, but we were going back and forth. Hope she says it first.
Hope he says it.
But Rob Similcare is, yes, the CEO of New York Road Runners. It's good to have you in. Appreciate everything your organization has been doing for us over the years and supporting us in our running and helping us get the message out. But this was something that I think goes beyond just putting on shoes and running and having a good time and being a community event. And why is it, you? And I think I said it right, you want running to actually be mental health therapy?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's great to be with both of you. And I want to throw the thanks back to you because both of you have done a lot for New York Roadrunners. You've run with us. Amy, you've been a supporter of Team for Kids and all of our community programs, our youth programs. So it means a lot for us to have you guys in our community, and I just want to thank you for having me here. TJ, to your question, yeah, when I became CEO just over a year ago, one of the things I did start talking about a lot was the mental health benefits of running. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people who run, and you guys are, what you just said in the intro, I couldn't say it a whole lot better, right, in terms of, like, the impact that runners know running has on their mental health. And when I ask people why they run, you know, and I talk to people at the finish line of our races or whatever, I'd say the most frequent answer I get is mental health, right? People will put it in different ways. They'll say it's a stress relief, or it clears my mind, or, you know, it just gives me that moment to kind of be, you know, with myself, especially if they just kind of run alone. And so various, you know, different variations of it, but they're all saying that it's the impact it has on their mind that really drives them to keep doing it over and over again. And so it's a real thing. Some people call it the so-called runner's high, right? And that's something that is a term that's thrown around sometimes, you know, for people who run a long way and how you feel afterwards. But you don't have to run, to Amy's point, long distances. You know, a consistent habit of 2-3 miles a week just to get out there, that feeling of, you know, getting your body moving, getting your heart rate up, it's magical for those of us who know it. And so I want more people to know that, so that folks who are struggling, again, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a substitute for other forms of mental health care like therapy or medication as it's needed. But for a lot of people, it can make a big difference.
Will you put this runner's high? Will either one of you actually, because I hear it all the time, and I've been running a long time. I got a couple of marathons under my belt. I don't know if I've ever had a runner's high.
Really?
Yeah.
I would say it's rare, and so people are chasing it constantly. I would say I have had some runs. I've got the right song on. The weather is perfect. I've just hit whatever, mile 8, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm a badass. And I just feel like I could take on the world, and I feel powerful. And it's almost, it is euphoric. And I'm singing, and I'm making a fool of myself as I'm running around along the West Side Highway, probably singing like Let It Go, like from Frozen or something. I mean, you've never had that? Well, I've seen you sit there and sing. Oh, you sing when you run.
But I thought, is it a physiological something, or that sounds mental to me? I have plenty of times I got the right song on, the weather's just right, I'm feeling myself, got my shirt off, I'm sweating just right, man. It feels like, is that the runner's
high?
Yes,
that's it.
Yeah, and I think Amy described it well in terms of what I've experienced, right? Okay. Which is For me, it's a feeling like I could just run forever.
Right.
You know, okay. And it usually comes when like I've been running a fair amount and my body's right and my mind's right and the weather's right and everything's kind of just working. And I just feel like I could just keep going forever. So that's what I think of when I think of the quote-unquote runner's high.
But isn't that rare?
But it's rare.
Okay.
I think it's somewhat rare. I think the day-to-day benefit of running is not rare, right? I think that's what you can get with a consistent habit of running, you know, a few times a week. And I personally, I don't know what time of day you guys run, but I'm all about the mornings, right?
Same.
Okay, so we're all the same. And I have a phrase I use actually with people at races. I say, win the morning, win the day, right? And so
sounds like TJ.
So much of life, especially if you're going through a rough patch, right? If you're feeling depressed or hopeless or whatever, so much of life can be just getting out of bed, right? Like that decision, that conscious choice to like get up, believe that something good can happen to you that day. Mm. And if you get up and have that run and now check, right? A good thing already happened today, right? I already did something. I accomplished something today. It's like a snowball going down the hill, and the momentum from that can get you to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. The next thing you know, you've had a great day.
Some people say just simply getting up and making your bed. It should always be the first thing you do because you accomplished a task. You have seen this. I'm not sure how I feel about you, though, and you getting up and running. Let me finish. I didn't start that right. Let me try that again.
Really? Well, I'm not sure I
it's like, should I leave?
How I feel about you.
He's already like, let's not do this in front of company, robot. It adjusts my whole day. And I get mad sometimes that I didn't get the run in. Nothing else can go wrong in the day. I'm just mad I didn't get to run it.
You did not run one day this week, and I thought, uh-oh. Buckle up for the rest of the day because TJ didn't run. That's not a good sign.
But it is a good, once you get into the routine, into the habit, where do you, for the folks who are listening, who do want to run, who want to get it, they love everything you're saying. It's so difficult to get them to take that first step, or mm-hmm. I'm not a marathon, I'm not a big time runner. What is that? You've had some good one-liners here. So what is the short speech you give people to get them started?
I tell people that if you run a mile, even a half a mile to start, congratulations, you're a runner, right? You have gone out and you've made it happen. I think it's great to start with other people. You know, if you can find a friend or a running group that you can join so you're not on your own doing it, I think that's an added benefit. You know, we have a program here in New York called Open Run, which is a free running program that's in parks, and we do it every single weekend. And so we've had a lot of people discover running that way, showing up at a free run group and just giving it a go with some people. And you know, it's intimidating for a lot of folks if they haven't done it, because they're like, well, I don't do that, and they're going to be fast and they're going to be in great shape and I'm not that. No, you go and you find your people, you find your tribe, and you just do it. And, you know, I think runners are overwhelmingly like open and supportive and like want to support other people getting into the sport. But even by yourself, you know, you just go out, find a track, find a good block on your neighborhood and go around once, and then that turns into twice, and that turns into three times. And you don't have to have a half a marathon in your sights, or a marathon for sure, right? You know, maybe you get up to a few miles. Guess what? That's a 5K, right? So it's a progressive thing, but, you know, what do they say? The longest journey must start with a single step, yep. Right? And it's the same thing with running. You just got to get that first step.
I think the hardest part about running for me is walking out the door. Like making the decision to walk and to go outside and to start the run. Once I'm going, I'm good. And even when I've had tough runs, which I've had some recently, when I do finish it, even I had to stop the other day. I think you had a story too. And I still finished it. I might have had to cobble it together, but I finished it. And I have always looked at running as a euphemism for life, because especially when things are hard, I know I've had those hard runs, but I also know I have hard days. But if you finish it, the next one may be better. It gives you hope, it gives you purpose, and it does give you that feeling of accomplishment, which creates this positivity even on a negative day, even on a bad run. I can still look back and say I learned something from that run about myself and what I have in me.
So I gave a speech at the beginning of the TCS New York City Marathon this year. It was my first time as CEO for that race. And what I said to all the runners at the starting line in Staten Island was, congratulations. And I was like, well, maybe you're wondering why I'm saying congratulations to you. You're at the starting line. You haven't run the race yet, right? But you got here, right? And it's really hard to get to the starting line of races, especially marathons. We know how hard that is with all the training. But just to get to the starting line of a 5K, or to your point, Amy, just to get out the door, right? All those people who line up at the starting line of a marathon have gotten out the door day in and day out. And so that's the accomplishment, right? And whatever happens for the 26.2 miles, whatever, that's the gravy. But the key was getting to the starting line. So, you know, you say it, you said it perfectly. It's a metaphor for life. And I think the reason so many runners are successful people in various endeavors in life, yourselves included, is because, you know, when you're running a marathon, that option to quit is always right there. It's in front of you.
Yep.
It's so easy to just quit. And people who finish, they didn't take the option. They never took the off ramp.
They thought about it a lot, though.
Going.
Man, Brooklyn is hard. You want to stop at all those pubs and all that. Oh, man. Brooklyn, we love you in Brooklyn for the marathon.
Oh, there is a stretch there in Brooklyn that you want to say, you see all the red solo cups, you're like, I think I'm going to stop and join their party.
But they are partying. Who put this? It feels like, I think it is the greatest day in New York every year, is the New York City Marathon. I don't know where that comes from or how it's just over time or what, but the city embraces, they're not runners, they don't have anybody running in it, but the city just gives you a big old hug and you feel it almost every step of that journey. How special is that day? Do you see anything that happens in New York that is more special, that we all come together in that way to root on people?
No, it's the best day of the year in New York. Obviously, I'm biased, but I think most people agree, even the non-runners agree, that it's just a special day. And I just think it's because you've got folks out there cheering on strangers. You know, they're there to support people they don't know. Yes, a lot of them have a friend running or something like that. But while they're waiting for that friend, they are cheering for the strangers. They are, you know, putting up the signs. I love the signs. The
signs are great.
They're so key, you know, to getting runners through this race. The funny signs, you need to laugh during a race like that.
Yes.
My favorite, the first race I did, I didn't know about the signs.
Right.
And what was the one that said, don't trust that fart?
Yeah.
I think it's
after
one.
Mile, whatever,
yeah.
Right?
And then the half marathon, a sign that says, I'm only half impressed. I didn't like that one. That was offensive. Like, you know how hard I had to work to get here? But some of the signs, they do carry you through.
Oh, without a doubt. And just the time that people have taken to make it and to pass things out. I mean, normally I wouldn't take a banana from a stranger or an orange from a stranger, but I do on marathon day.
Yeah, they just pull it out of the box with their dirty hand. Sure, sounds like a good idea.
Well, you know, fuel is fuel at that point, right? What does it, I'm curious, 50,000 runners typically in the New York City Marathon
last
every year?
Last year, 51,000.
51.
And change, yes.
How many people do you have to turn away?
Well, we have over 100,000 who apply for the drawing every year. We're actually, as we speak, taping this podcast today, we're in the middle of sign-up period, actually, for the marathon. And so we're already, you know, well over 100,000. Don't know where we'll end up. But we get a tremendous amount of interest, of course, every year. And there's different ways to get into the marathon. But the entry drawing always gets, you know, into well into the six figures.
That's incredible. So if you think about the fact, what do they say, less than 1% of the world's population has ever run a marathon, and you have 50,000 people who can't even get into the marathon because there's such a demand. That's a pretty remarkable thing. To what do you attribute that?
Well, the marathon's been popular for a long time. The TCS New York City Marathon in particular is such a big part of New York that I think so many people have it on their bucket list of something to do. So I think that's been a longstanding thing. I think what's different now, though, Amy, is all of our races sell out. It's not just the marathon. We are literally sold out for the 5K that's in Central Park or the 10K in Queens. All of our races sell out, and they sell out very quickly as well. And I think that is my theory, at least, is the pandemic, right? The pandemic was such a tough period for so many people. There wasn't anything else you could do but run, right? If you wanted to exercise, I mean, you could do sit-ups in your bedroom or whatever. There was stuff you could do, but like running was the choice that so many people, you know, found. And so people started running during the pandemic. And now, post-pandemic, I think a lot of it is because of the mental health component of it, the community that people have found, maybe in the running club they joined or the set of friends they got to run together, they've stayed with it. They stayed with the running they discovered during the pandemic. And so we're just seeing numbers that are through the roof for all of our races.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
And I remember that time during the pandemic. I had the Brooklyn Bridge to myself morning after morning because I run so early, first of all, but there was nobody out. And how many times in your life you just stumped on the bridge by myself?
What time was this?
This is, I used to run like 5-6 in the morning just when sun was coming up. But now with, I say every morning we wake up.
Oh, the first thing he says to me is, "You ready to run?"
That's not a joke, folks. It doesn't matter what time it is, what's happening.
Not I love you, not good morning.
4:15.
You ready to
run?
And what do I say back?
I know the answer is always no, usually.
I'm like, not yet.
Not yet.
Give me a little
minute. Yes, let me get going. Let me get my coffee. You used to say that. You don't do that anymore.
I've stopped the coffee before the run.
Okay.
Yes.
But it is a, do you see, you said the pandemic kind of helped with some numbers of people running. What else happens when you, to cause a spike, if you will, in people kind of signing up? Is it, it could be a maybe a celebrity, a particular celebrity getting a lot of attention running a marathon. Is it, I don't know, some renewed focus on health that's in the news? What is it that kind of ends up prompting people where you start to see another wave of people wanting to
run? I think it is mostly social and friends, right? I think, you know, I know a person who got into running because her friend said, you know, you had a rough year. You need to have a better year, and so why don't you sign up for New York Roadrunners and start running? And, you know, it changed, you know, that person's life. I've met people who moved to New York, didn't know anyone here, and went on our website and found a run club. And that became their set of friends, and maybe they met a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever in the run club. People find their community through running, and that to me, that's actually the best part of it, is the community that you find, and the run club scene has just exploded. I mean, we've got all these new clubs that have come up and have registered with us on our website, and we have a whole club points competition throughout the year at Roadrunners, where the clubs compete against each other in all the different age categories and all this stuff. So that's a huge part of it. And I think that's what's really kept it going. I think they started for the runs and they stayed for the people.
That's beautiful. And I love running with friends. All the marathons I've run with friends. We challenged ourselves and did a double marathon. We did Chicago and then New York. You all helped get us into that. But just to do it with friends, I can't even imagine doing it alone. I know some people do, and that's great, but I love the social component of it. And to share in the experience, to look back and forth, and to just be a part of something outside and larger than yourself, it really is this. I can't think of another thing that a normal, I should say ordinary person could do where you'd have thousands of people cheering for you. Like, unless you're an Olympian or you're a professional football player, some sort of professional athlete, the only way you can experience just maybe a small amount of what that feels like to be cheered on and to push through pain, it's running a race. And it could be any race. It doesn't have to be a marathon. But that is, I wanted to, like, in the moment, and you want to share it with the people next to you, but this is unique. This is special. And not many people get to feel this excitement other than professional athletes. And it's remarkable. How did you get started with running?
I ran cross country in high school. I remember that there was a gym class where I think I was in seventh grade, and the teacher was like, okay, everybody go run the mile. Let's see what you can do. I was really a baseball guy. Baseball was my favorite sport from forever and still is in a lot of ways. So baseball was my focus, but we went out and ran this mile, and I think the first mile I ran was like 6:01 or something
wow.
like that. It was something in that neighborhood. Like, so it was in the low sixes, and the gym teacher was like, okay, you should really be on the cross country team. So I was like, okay, I didn't even know what cross country was. So they got me running cross country. I was into it because it got me out of gym class. So I didn't have to, you know, go hang out, you know, during gym class. I could do whatever I wanted, hang out in the library or whatever. So I started running cross country, and I would do that in the fall and play baseball in the spring. And I had kind of a love-hate relationship with cross country. If anybody out there has ever run cross country, it's intense. You know, you're running 5 days a week, and you're doing hill repeats, and, you know, a lot of intense workouts. So I in some ways I loved it, in some ways I kind of hated it. And really wanted to do baseball. So I played baseball through high school, you know, went to college, law school, and I kind of rediscovered running in my last year of law school. I was in Boston, and I went out, it was actually a baseball connection, I went out to the Red Sox game on Patriots Day in Massachusetts, which is a state holiday. The Patriots play an 11 a.m. game, sorry, the Red Sox play an 11 a.m. game, and then you walk outside, and that's the day of the Boston Marathon. And so I walked out and saw the finish of the Boston Marathon. And I was like, I saw these people crossing the finish line. I was like, I've got to do this. This looks amazing. And so the very next week, I sent in for an application to the New York City Marathon and was lucky enough to get in my first try. It was a while ago before, you know, it was quite as hard to get in maybe as it is now. And that's kind of what got me back into it.
Wow. I didn't know that. but what? How did you go from... Why do you want to be the head of New York Roadrunners? You're a lawyer. You have a like you're Harvard or at least Ivy League. Because I have to have
it was
right
Harvard Law School. Yeah, that's where I was going to law school in Boston.
Yeah, let me get it right now.
You nailed it.
But you go from that, but you always wanted to be the head of this organization.
Well, you know, I had a lot of great roles in my career. I practiced law for a few years, and then I was in your world for a while. I mean, I was at ESPN and a bit at ABC News. And so I did the media thing, and I love sports and love media. And so I spent almost 20 years between ESPN, ABC, and NBC Sports in that world, and got to do some amazing things, both in front of the camera and mostly behind the camera. But I loved sports and I loved New York, right? And so when this opportunity came along, and I'd run two marathons, you know, the first one, and then I ran another one like 16 years later. And when I got a call about this, and I just said, wow, okay, it's running, it's New York, it's sports. And not only that, but it's also for a purpose, you know, it's got a mission. So it's not just, and I'd spent my whole career in for-profit. So, you know, it wasn't just money and shareholder value and the stock price and all that. It was, hey, we're actually trying to help people through running. You know, we're trying to change lives. And so I couldn't resist that. It kind of checked all the boxes for me of something that I wanted to do and right here in my hometown. So it's been great.
Did you pause as well when he said he ran a 601 in high school?
Yes.
What the hell?
I was blown away. I've never run anything in with a six in front of it at all, ever.
If folks are listening, you're not a runner and have a handle on this. If a 6 minute mile is elite from a high schooler, that's definitely, you must have been the national champion that year.
I mean, you know, I could run a decent clip, but I mean, you got guys out there running sub fives left and right. So, I mean, I was fast for my school for sure. But
you said you were a high schooler. Hey, go run a mile and you just put together a six?
Yeah, it was okay.
Oh, look at him. Okay. I wish y'all could see him. He knows that's a big deal. That's not a small thing.
You know what's funny is, and by the way, speaking of times, I actually brought some of both of your times here. I decided to do a little look at some of your times. You know, I run about as fast now, TJ, as I did like 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I don't really know. I look at that and I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's good because I've stayed in shape, or maybe it's bad because I should have been a lot faster then. I wasn't pushing myself hard enough when I was younger. But you guys, I like the times. First of all, Amy, you know, a great track record of running. Wow. You go back to 2017. Do you remember what your first race with Roadrunners was?
No, I don't.
It was the 2017 Shape Women's Half Marathon.
Oh, right.
April 30th, 2017.
The funny story about that one is I wasn't ever intending on running the whole thing. I was doing a relay race with Sarah Haynes, and I said, I'll do seven, you'll do, she'll do seven. We ran 1 mile together. So I did 6 miles by myself, and then she and I ran 6 to 7 together, and then I was going to stop, except for I didn't want to stop. So I just kept going. So I'm sure that time is awful because I was huffing and puffing and hyperventilating when I crossed the finish line because I didn't train.
Not awful. It was 2:27. So you were at 11:18 pace. And you're...
Yeah, it was bad. But you don't understand what it was like the last 3 miles for me.
Look at you now. Look at you now. You ran the half, the 2023 United Airlines NYC half, in a pace under 9 minutes a mile.
I did. Was it 1:50...
Four.
Exactly. So I shaved off 30 minutes of a half marathon.
Really good.
That is good.
You shaved a lot of time off over the course of your time running.
You
want
to know why? Because I actually trained. When you don't train, it's really hard. And then when you do train, it's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that the hard way.
It does make a difference. and your marathon times, Amy, I mean, you are definitely within range of running a sub-4-hour marathon. You are at 4:14. So how big a goal is that for you?
It's been a goal. I've run 5 marathons now, I guess, and I keep wanting to get that sub-4, and we almost had it.
We had it. We had it.
We were on
track. So the 4:14 was the last one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So if he knows, I don't know if we've talked about it here, but yes, that was a, we were on pace to crush a sub-4. We were on pace. All of a sudden, she wants to stop at every water station. What's happening here? So I turn back, I look back, and she's having the water, but she's slowing down real slow. And then 22?
Mile 22 is when
she got sick.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we had to pull over for what was at least a 5+ minute stop for a marathon.
That's tough.
It was tough. That's tough. And then you can't get your mojo back. You just can't get your rhythm back. And I was so frustrated because you don't know what's going to happen race day. I haven't figured out still, even after 5 marathons, how to fuel myself without getting sick. It's a dance. What do you eat before? What do you eat during? How much do you drink? What's the weather like? Everything. There's so many variables. But yes, I do want to get a sub-4. That is something I've always wanted.
We're on pace.
If you were on pace that long, it means you can do it.
Yeah.
I know I can.
Oh, yeah.
I know I can.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was, I don't know, a little more selfish, I would have kept going and had a sub-4.
I know. Oh, you could probably get a 3:30, I bet.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, TJ, I'm looking at your times now, and
they should be exactly with hers.
Most of them are, but not
except
all
for
of
the
them.
Brooklyn.
Because you ran Brooklyn, exactly, the 2022 RBC fastest. Brooklyn half. Very impressive, 146.02, an 8.06 per mile pace. So you're talking to me about
amazing.
A six-minute mile, but that was just 1 mile. You ran 13 miles, just about 8 minutes a mile.
Wow.
That's legit.
That's impressive. Good. That's impressive.
I ran that one by myself.
I noticed.
I know, and I've said that the whole time. I know that you would be in a much better category.
But Rob, to your point about community, there is no way after training with her for a marathon for 5+ months, training for a half marathon for 3+ months, that going through all that with her, then on race day, I not be with her is not enough. It never crossed my mind to keep going. I said it's more important for my personal relationship than to get a PR. It really is. So there was no question, and we were crushing that marathon.
I know. We were.
Man, coming out while we were running.
Well, that's what happened. I did not want to stop, but then my body insisted.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes.
It happens. But yeah, we have, and you guys have been absolutely great, 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 great to us. And Stuart Lieberman and your team over the years have been wonderful. And we talk about running here a lot because we love it and we enjoy it. It's such a part of our life, but I don't think we do focus enough on how much it has meant to us over time for our mental health. It really, really, really has been a lifesaver for me personally, and for Robog, but Robog was the one who recognized something in me that was going on and pushed and encouraged me to get into running. So it has, and you all have been a part of that journey. So thank you. Really, thank you all for all you have done for us.
And for sharing that with the world and your work with children, because when you can get kids to see the magic or feel the magic of running and feel their own strength, so many people, but children especially, feel powerless. And when you give them this tool that they can utilize and access without a gym, it's free, and you can run almost anywhere. Talk about why your work with Team for Kids, because it's such a beautiful thing. I love, oh my gosh, when I see kids running and I see them building, it makes me so happy because I know the joy that they're going to have with them always, able to access. I think I pushed my daughters too far because I so badly wanted them to run with me. It was the Brooklyn 5K I did with them, had the cutest pictures of that. They made it. They felt so accomplished. But I think maybe because mom wanted them to do it so badly, they resisted. But now I've got my oldest running, sending me pictures of her runs. And she still won't let me follow her on Strava, but because she knows I'll get obsessive about it. But I start to see it comes back to them. Even if, because it is a thing where mentally you can resist it. Like, why am I doing this? This is hard. And as a kid, it's hard to explain to a kid why you would keep doing it. But I do love that there's a foundation and what you're creating for them. And then, yes, they can always come back to it. I know TJ's trying to do the same thing with Sabine right now.
Well, try not to push her, but she's 11. I'll join her track team for the fifth graders and got her. She is the most beautifully outfitted fifth grader you will ever see. I even have her coordinated. New Balance shoes, New Balance socks, New Balance bag, New Balance hoodie, New Balance shirt. She walks in feeling like she's about to run a 6-minute mile. You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
So she's
on brand too. We love it.
But if she's wearing shoes that actually New Balance provided, gifted to her, that end up being gifted to my daughter. So New Balance, we are using the shoes, so thank you. But it is. You don't want to push them too far, but to see them getting into it, and it is. And that event you talk about in Times Square, I'm trying to get her to do that as well. She's not there yet, but we love it so much, and it's just meant so much to us, and you all have meant so much to us. And we can't let you get out of here without asking, because it has been in the news lately, just what happened with the young lady, the college student in Georgia, the runner there, Lakin Riley. But what do you all, certainly your hearts break as much as you all love running and support runners, but what is your issue maybe sometimes with the conversation that's had around safety when it comes to running? And what do you all recommend to anyone, but women in particular, when it comes to running?
Yeah, that was a really heartbreaking story. It was hard for me to read that about a young woman who was attacked and harmed that way. You know, doing the thing that we are talking about doing, running. Unfortunately, it happens too often. You know, I actually posted something on my Instagram about that, and I had a number of women reach out to me and say, you know, I've had issues, you know, in different places, in New York City or wherever it might be. It simply should not be a thing that a woman has to worry about her safety being harmed or harassed to go out for a run. It just shouldn't be. And it's frankly on everybody to make that stop. You know, it's on men, women, everybody to be allies to people who are running and make sure that we're keeping each other safe out there. You know, as far as advice, we have put out, some things over the years about runner safety. Personally, I think the number one thing that you can do is run with other people. Yeah. You know, we talked about that, and running in groups has so many benefits. Safety is one of them. There's no question about it. And so it's just people are safer in groups. There's no question about it. There are things that runners can purchase and buy to, pepper spray on wristbands or things like that for self-defense. Some people might choose to do that. Some people might not want to do that. But, I just think being around as many other people as you can be when you're running, and it's easy to say that in Manhattan. It's harder to say that, maybe in, more rural areas. So I don't, I'm not here to say don't run by yourself, but, since safety is an issue for runners, and especially women, I think it's always great to have, even if it's just one running buddy.
Yep. Oh, you can even have someone bike next to you. I've done that before too, as well. And I know one of the things about running with folks and getting the excitement to share with other people are those races that you were talking about. And I just would encourage anyone who's even considering starting running or starting back to running to sign up for a race, because now you're on the hook. Like, now you've got a goal, and even if you think you might not want to, you have to, because you've done that. I think I've done that to myself. You're playing a mental game with yourself. Like, I want to keep going. I want to make this work. If I sign up for this race, now I have to train. Now I have to run. So I love that whole component. I love that you all have so many different opportunities for all types of runners. And I just think wherever you live, check your local running organization, because there's a way to do it, and there's a way to kind of force yourself to be on the hook for
Absolutely.
That race day.
Sign up for that race, and then you know what's even better? Tell 3 people that you signed up for the race, right?
Put it on social media.
Exactly. Put it out there in the world, right? Don't keep it a secret to yourself. So now you've got people who are going to, asking you, oh yeah, how's the training for that race going? Yep. How'd that race go, right? You got the accountability as well.
I love that. Rob Similcare,
Nailed it.
Did I get it?
Oh my goodness. It's so much easier than it looks.
It is. Thank you so much for coming. And again, to echo what TJ said, thank you for all that you all have done for us to support us as runners. We tend to be a little bit of procrastinators. So when sometimes the races are no longer available, y'all sneak us in anyway, so we are very appreciative. Sometimes we just crash races. We've done that before, too.
How are you telling people this stuff? We sound like we're getting into... No, folks, we signed up on time. We made the deadline. We're not getting any special privileges.
You're just not telling Robes. The truth.
Robes.
We'd like to, and in a perfect world, I would have been better about it. But no, thank you. We appreciate it.
There's not much we can do for you guys to help you run 13.1 miles. So right. You got to do that yourself. There's nothing we can do for you there.
I almost quit running last year because of the
because it was really cold.
It was too cold. It was 17 degrees, I think, when it started. Oh, I ended that race, and I want to quit running. That was the worst run, not worst race.
Well, that
was the worst time I ever had running in my life.
That was the day you met Rob. He probably got a really bad impression of you.
Yeah, it was.
We did. Oh,
yeah. He remembers. Oh, he remembers.
That's right. We met after the race.
He was like,
exactly,
wow, that guy's
right.
Angry.
Oh, yeah. Like it was his fault. Oh, you're the head of New York Roadrunners? It's with the weather.
It's with the weather.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Well, no, we appreciate having you. We're going to see you plenty down the road. But thank you.
I will
thank
see you
so
both
much.
At the finish line. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, folks, you know where to find us, of course. Robach and I both on our Instagram accounts, also on TikTok. And we also, you can find the show at Amy and TJ Podcast on Instagram.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.